From now till 14th May, visit Woodin Retail Shops and Partner Shops and get your mom a range of beautiful fabrics and stylish ladies' wear to complement her unique style. Celebrate your mom with Woodin and receive an amazing gift to make her day unforgettable. T's and C's apply.
Woodin, le créateur. Hey,
to us this morning. This is Home Affairs. My name is Adam Knight Day, and thank you for staying tuned in. I am actually looking forward to this inspirational conversation. I know you have what you want to achieve this year, but quite often you start and then somewhere, somehow it falls through and you're wondering, why didn't I take it to the end? Why didn't it happen? Did I not persevere enough? Was I not challenged enough? Were the obstacles too huge to surmount? What really could have been the challenge? And there are times that by the time the year is ending, you're looking back and you're asking yourself, what have I done again? And quite often when it happens that way for too long, you realize that you don't even have any expectations going into the new year again. And you're just there, you know. But we want to do something very different. Just so whatever it is that you have decided to do, you'll know that it takes some nuggets to be able to do them and achieve them. So we're going to have very interesting conversations, real life conversations, just to be able to inspire you. Now, one of those, I mean, we're going to have conversations, various aspects of, you know, life, marriage and all. But this morning we're starting with Auntie Mary. That's how I call her. Mrs. Mary Amwakofo and her daughter, Nanaya, were going to tell their story. If I am not lying, I think the first time I met Auntie Mary was about 9 or 10 years ago. True. When I was producing Ultimate Health with Naughty Dua. Hopefully we get him on the line to put in a few words. And when I was producing him, and you know, that was meeting her was my very first time of having a personal encounter with somebody who is raising a child with, you know, disability of some sort. You hear about them, you read about them, you watch on TV, you see some of these children around, you see how frustrated some parents are. But meeting Auntie Mary was my my closest encounter with such a situation. And I kept wondering, hey, how do you even cope? Because when you have a child who doesn't even have any impairments, right? Sometimes it's so difficult to take care of them in their childhood. And then you have one who, let me just say that it's not aligned. And
you are encountering it also for the first time and you're very confused. I remember that day when we finished, Naughty was like, Adam, we need to get Mary, you know, somewhere to go and get a massage just to relax or get a weekend stay somewhere. I've forgotten. I don't know whether we did or not. But
we did.
It won't be bad. We did, right?
Yes,
because you feel like she really needed it. Her life had to be put on hold and everything. I remember one day she said, sometimes I just walk away from everything, just go and walk on the streets and get fresh air. Yes. There are times that for nothing, I get attacked by my daughter and I don't know what to do and all that. But today, right, that story is a very beautiful, inspirational story. If you follow her, I follow her on Facebook, My Journey with Autism, right?
Yes.
Just, you know, get on her page and you will see how she has turned this obstacle into a whole community, inspiring people. And when I see other mothers who have children with disabilities and they come and go like, this is my problem, what do I do? This is it, what do I do? And I'm like, I'm sure these people feel like this woman has it all together and she doesn't have any problems anymore. And that's the story we want to tell, so that your challenge. Yesterday I asked, what's your story? What's holding you back? Maybe by the time you finish hearing Auntie Mary's story, you will realize that you probably are shortchanging yourself. And I am here with my pen and my paper to take notes so that I fuse whatever it is that I will be learning here this morning into the things that I have also planned to achieve this year. And so come on this journey with us. Auntie Mary, good morning. You're welcome.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
It's been so long. You're looking so good.
Thank you.
Yay!
Thank you so much.
And yes, beautiful mom. And she's such a beautiful and adorable girl.
Oh, glory to God. It's been a journey.
Yes. You can also go on to Auntie Mary's page, My Journey with Autism, and have a look at the beautiful Nanaya. She's 20 years now.
Yes, in 3 months. She's turning 20.
In 3 months.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, so this is what I'm seeing on the page is build up to the birthday.
Yes, something glorious is about to happen.
Build up, no.
Yes.
Wow. Great, Auntie Mary. So let's start this. And like I told you, we want to tell it from the point of view of inspiration, right? So 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago, you had a baby.
Yes.
And did you have some children before Nanaya?
Yes. So I have 2 boys.
Okay.
Yes.
And they are perfectly okay.
Perfectly okay. Neurotypical. So there's no problem at all.
Great.
Life was good.
Good. And so, I mean, did you realize you're pregnant with a girl?
Yes.
You did your scans?
Yes.
Okay.
And I remember that day so well as I, you know, sit here. When I was told, you know, it's a girl.
Oh, wow.
This happened at Tete Kwesi Memorial Hospital.
Okay.
And I was so excited, mm-hmm. you know. I started thinking in pinks. You know,
oh,
I'm going
wow.
to dress my
Two
baby.
Two boys,
oh.
yeah. She's just going to crown it.
I didn't know what was coming.
Oh, today you can look back and laugh.
Yes, you know, just, is that me? You know, some few years back would have been, even if I share, you know, tears now, it's tears of joy.
Yeah.
Of where we were.
And where you are now.
Yes, and where we are now. It's been a journey. And
we thank God, ultimately.
The good and the bad.
Yeah, the ugly, the evil, everything. So then you had this baby. When was she diagnosed with autism?
So, yeah, was perfectly okay.
Okay.
2 years, I remember very well, she could say, Mama, Dada. We speak a lot of Chi at home.
Okay.
And I remember very well when she would say, Men Musio means I want water. But then, just before she turned 3, I noticed she would flap her arms, sometimes run in circles, sometimes, you know, play by herself, but she was very hyper, so she would not sit at one place. You know, a 3-year-old, at least when you call them, they will look at the direction of your voice, and even if they don't respond, your voice arrests their attention. This one, she was all over the place, running. She would just hide behind furniture and all that, so something was not right.
Mm.
But sincerely,
you didn't think?
No, not at all. Not at all. not at all. So this happened till she was 4.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And, you know,
had she lost her speech at the time?
Not yet.
Okay.
But the few words were there before 3.
Okay.
Now, what added around that time, that's 3 years, was the hyperactivity, not responding to a name, the flapping, not sleeping at night.
Okay.
And then there was also severe constipation around, you know, the time. So, but, you know, nothing did ring at the time.
Were
to
you
me.
Taking her to the hospital?
Not yet. Not
okay.
yet. Not yet.
Because you didn't just make anything of it?
No, nothing, you know, I thought maybe it's one of those things. Mm. So then, around 4, we started, you know, you start the crèche. And we're going in the car of another teacher where okay. we're staying. And he also had a 4-year-old
okay.
who could respond to...
So almost everything?
Yes.
So, for their age?
Yes. So that was a connection, but oh. it's still... And then around 4.5, when she was still not talking, but this time the hyperactivity was just too much to
oh,
cope
boy.
With, you know. So I knew something was wrong at this time. But again, not autism or any form of disability at all.
Wow.
But I got a bit worried. Mm. But this time, not worried for hospital or to go to hospital, but, you know, obedience, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we started praying. Mm. And to cut long story short, I was still in denial. So she was around 6 years.
Are you serious?
Yes. And you know, 6 years is when formal education starts.
Yes.
So she's expected to be in class 1. She should be potty trained. She'd be able to, I mean, have a simple, basic conversation.
Yes.
And here she was not responding to her name. She didn't care, running around. She would not sleep at night, make some noise that didn't really add.
And did you get any reports from school?
Yes, I did. And so... that was when, you know, I started getting worried now.
Okay.
But even then, you know, sometimes you still want to hold on. Hey, me a Christoni, you know, things will work for my good. Things
oh,
will,
definitely.
You know. Yeah. But then a friend visited us. This was a white lady. You know, she was a Peace Corps volunteer while I was in secondary school.
Okay.
She visited us, and she was actually the first person. Laura was with us for maybe 15, 20 minutes. And then said, "Ah, Mary, is your daughter always like this?" And I said, "Like what?" She said, you know, she hardly, you know, gives me eye contact. She's all over the place. When I call her, she's not responding, even though she could hear.
Yeah.
And I said, she seems to be showing signs of autism, just
Ooh,
like that.
Yeah.
I said, "Autism, I mean, what do you, it was my first time.
Hearing it.
Yes. And then I was a teacher, a very good one at that. I believed in myself that, you know, I was a good teacher. So that was my first time. And I said, "What is that?" He said, "You know, those days, it wasn't like now where we have all these smartphones.
There's so much information."
Yeah. She took me to one of these cafes. And then, you know, what? In those days, you go, you buy the time.
Mm-hmm.
They give you the code.
And then you go and sit behind one of the machines.
Things have changed.
I know, right?
So then we Googled autism. And then information. So she printed and gave to me and said, "Read."
And you could make, you read and you were making some of the connections.
Some of the things I read, my child did.
Was
but
exhibiting
there was also
them.
A lot.
That she wasn't exhibiting.
Yes. But then, you know, so I got a bit worried. I said, "Well, at 6... she's not potty trained." That was also another thing. So she would not sit on the potty. And she would do it, I mean, indiscriminately, anyhow.
Okay.
Whether my kitchen or my bedroom. And that was also another...
concern for
yes.
you.
Yes. And she would just urinate everywhere. So I said no. So at 6, then we said, "No, enough is enough. Let's go to the hospital." So we went, and then they confirmed that, you know, your child is on the autism spectrum. And I asked, you know, "Is there any medication?" He said, "Oh, you've got to manage it and go through therapy." I said, "Therapy, crying first time. What is therapy?" I mean.
So for you, you thought that, I mean, there was just some medication they would give you and then you just buy and that's it.
Yeah. So it was when the man said, "No, you know."
I can imagine.
Yes, you can. I think that also didn't really help because, you know, you'd have expected that They explain to you what this diagnosis means, you know.
Yeah.
What has, it was just like your child is on the autism spectrum and it's not curable.
Oh, dear.
You learn to manage. They can do well. And then they started giving me instances of Einstein. And I said, what I do? I mean, bring it home, you know. But it was difficult. I remember when we left that hospital and was coming home. My husband didn't talk to me. I did not. I was crying. But he just, you know, kept on driving till we got home. And I think he was also in shock because my husband is a chemistry teacher. And when I had the Naya and I came home, I remember very well what he said. He said, look, Naya, you're going to be the best chemist in Ghana.
Okay.
And he had actually bought this chemistry, you know, set, was going to teach here. And here you are, somebody telling you.
Your child is autistic.
Yes. So they may talk or
may not.
Not. They may need support for the rest of their lives or not, depending on where they are on the spectrum. And this is even a spectrum I don't even understand. So that was it. So for him, he was just quiet and just, you know, kind of maybe cut off a little bit.
Oh,
it was difficult because I think in his mind, and you know, it takes a bit of time for men, you know, emotionally, for things to really see. For a woman, you know, I started with prayers. So pastors, you know. And then it was difficult.
Imagine.
If I tell you some of the things I did in those days, you won't believe it.
Tell us some. That's the essence of this conversation. So that when you see Nanaya today, you know that Nanaya didn't just become an influencer and a brand ambassador modeling things all over. Look, I look at her and I go like, whoever would think that this child has any challenge at all?
So, you know.
You have done so well. Are you cool?
Oh, glory to God, I'll say that. But, you know, then I started silently, you know. You know, women, you take things and then you want to see what exactly would this lead me. So I said, somebody would say, oh, go here. Go. In fact, I went to see a lot of pastors, not the good ones. You know, sometimes you want this instant cure. So, and when you are frustrated, you do anything. One of those visits, I was asked to go to Techiman. Techiman is in the Brunaf region. Is it Bono region now? And I was to go and fetch water from a particular river. I did set off on Friday evening. I told my husband I was going to visit my mom.
Oh.
Then I veered off to Techiman. I got there around 4 a.m. I waited till 6 and I went to this river. I fetched the water. I brought it. I gave it to Nanaya. Nothing happened. Another pastor who had already collected so many clothes from me also asked me to use 7 white handkerchiefs. And at 12 a.m., I should bath here with these white handkerchiefs, one at a day, you know. Each day we use one. But what I was supposed to, when we are done with this bathing at 12 a.m., I should walk back to my bedroom, backwards, holding Nanaya. Now, the first one, first day, we succeed. The second day, the third day, we both fell and we turned, you know, towards the direction of the. So it means I had to start over. I said, this one, I can't continue. I mean, there were so many. You know, I go to other places, they would look at a palm, read the palm and start telling me stories, and then go back and questions I should be asking my father. My father is already gone. He's dead. I mean, there were so many things. What I'm trying to say, sometimes when you don't have the answers and you're so desperate, in your desperation, you do anything.
Just anything.
You do anything. And I think, I don't know whether this one is a cultural thing. You're expected to feel so strong and act so strong. And so sometimes you don't even have avenues and places where, even if you could trust the person to open up, you know, to open up and talk about what you are going through emotionally. I have, you know, I've gone through depression before. If I share my experience,
you will go through it.
You wouldn't believe it. But I think it also happened because I was bottling in too much. And when people cry, somebody said this once, that in other cultures, when people are crying, they just offer you tissue. Because they feel that the crying, it's part of a healing process.
Exactly.
Here,
Menso. Don't cry.
Yeah. And so everything is bottled in there, and there's a limit to which each of us can take. And so I have gone through it all. I remember at a point when it was, at the initial stage, it was difficult because even when nannies come, you know,
you were still going to school to teach.
Yes, I was still going to school, and you need to leave your child
with someone.
And it's a child who is, you know, all over the place, especially the potty training aspect was difficult. If she's just doing it on herself anywhere, but nobody wants to clean the poo of a 6-year-old. And I mean,
frustrating.
It's very so. Even nannies will come and
they'll just leave
because they don't feel very comfortable. And I think we don't do what we call full disclosure. So when a person is in your house, you tell them how many of us gets nanny and say, my child is A, B, C, D, especially if you have any form of, you don't. So they find out for themselves, and this is not what they expect.
And you know, like you said, in our culture, some of these things, you say them and people start looking at, your family is marked. Hey, maybe they have done something. Maybe, you know, it's witchcraft or something. All of those things usually would come up. What people will be thinking about you because you have a child with disability. And, you know, at the time, there wasn't so much information, you know. And so it's one of the reasons people are also afraid to say that I am telling a total stranger what, you know, my family is going through. You won't blame people too much. But now, thankfully, there's so much information, and people know quite a bit about, you know, these challenges.
Yeah.
And you have added to the world of information there is. We'll get to that.
Yeah. So, you know, it was difficult. So even dealing with nannies, so I think one particular year we had, you know, changed about 4 to 5. So my husband said, this is enough. So why don't you stop working and take care of her whilst I work? You know, in my head, I also asked, why not the other way around? Mm-hmm. You stay home, let me go. So then I stopped working. Mm-hmm. And I stayed home with her. It was difficult.
When was this?
This was when she was around, I think, 8 or so.
So that's like 12 years ago.
Yes.
And you haven't gone back to work ever since?
No. Well, I did. I changed. You know, everything changed then. But then I stayed home, and it was still difficult because then you get up, you are watching African movies, and your child is, I mean, it's just not enough also staying home, but you also have enough training, enough to handle this child. Because it's okay to love the child, it's okay to, you know, want to do things for the child, but you need some level of training as a parent, because for autism, is, for instance, there's a lot that you, the parent,
you
can do.
You need to learn and know.
And then there's also the issue of denial. Like I said, before 6 years, I was still in denial. I mean, just like somebody shared with me yesterday, Auntie Mary, I've waited for 15 years to have this child. Now this child comes and is diagnosed with autism. Why would God fail me this way? And when these things happen to you, you don't just get up and open up as well. You go through the process. And as denial and process acceptance, it's a whole process. It doesn't happen overnight. So I keep telling parents, it's okay, you know, to sit there, to blame yourself, to cry, to ask God why. But then at a point, you need to get up and do something. I always say that if you say this child is going through a lot, life is difficult, or even if you tell yourself that, how much more this child, whom the world knows little about. I've heard stories of in-laws telling, you know, the woman in question who has a child with, you know, because you didn't push and you had CS. When you didn't, you're CS. I mean, you know, parents hear these things. I think she thought she was self. She said, Mary, when you see she can cry. You know, I mean, go back to when you were a young girl.
So somebody may have done something.
No. Imagine maybe she can't do maybe or something. You know, like, you know, you dated somebody, and if that is the way God pays people, trust me, then there will only be a few.
There won't be anybody.
Anybody, you know. But lack of knowledge. And so sometimes there's all this, what society will say. I remember, even initially, I didn't want anybody to know. I taught at the school when we left, and then, you know, I stopped working. Life was very difficult. My husband is a teacher, I'm a teacher. And depending on only one salary, that was difficult with three children.
And one that needs special care.
Oh, sister, and we haven't even spoken about the kind of care.
Mm.
Oh. So I started, going back to private schools, and it was difficult.
And where were you leaving her?
No, at that time, we had also gotten another person who came in.
Okay.
Yes, so I could go and... But it was still difficult. And when you are being asked to even go to hospital, this child will not cooperate.
Even at that young age?
Oh. So sometimes even it becomes nuisance to even go because she will not allow people to touch her. You want to examine her, she will not allow. And she's not talking. Everything you just have to... You have to imagine and assume and... So it was very difficult. Finally, I came to terms with it. But it took a lot of years. And this is where sometimes it's so important to find what we call parent support group. A like-minded tribe that understands your challenges. Because Adam, no matter how much I explain and tell you, the challenges have come through and I still, even though we've come a long way, there's still so much ahead of us that needs to be done. You will not really understand it. When I tell people that I'm tired, I'm emotionally tired, I'm physically tired. There are times that I pick up, you know, a text message on my phone, I read it all right, and I don't even understand. Then later, maybe 2-3 days, I say, oh, and then they text me on three. Then I go say, oh, she was actually, because emotionally, there are days that people will call, your child is making noise. Maybe this child hasn't slept for 3-4 days.
Jesus.
And so you look at the call, you say, it's better for you to ignore it because at that particular moment, you can't even.
Yeah.
So we go through a lot. We truly, you know, as I sit and share this experience with this, also bringing out the, you know, the emotions, and I can understand.
Auntie Mary, tell me, how has this changed you?
It's so many
ways. Especially so when you came to terms with it. Was that when you finally stopped working?
No. I stopped working before.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I stopped working before.
Even after you tried the private schools?
Yes. It didn't work. And then, you know, even one of the schools, and this was when I was around 6, when school reopened and then we called and said, oh, the school is collapsed, so we are no more. Actually, it wasn't collapsed.
It was because they didn't want it.
You know, I don't take it against them.
Yeah, you won't hold it against them. I mean, I used to run Evergreen, the crutch. And there was a time that somebody brought a child, you know, with a special need like that. And the woman actually just came and said that, I am tired. I just want a place to dump this child and go. And then when I come back, I'll come and take her back. And I told her that I am sorry. One, even using the word you want to dump the child
yes.
is one of the reasons I will not accept it. Number two, and I'm being realistic here with you, myself and my caregivers have not been trained to handle...
I remember you called me.
I told you. Yeah. To handle a child with special needs. They will be frustrated and probably end up just maltreating the child. And so, and she was upset because I think she had the same... encounter at different places. So I called you, and that's where you pointed me to a few places, and I told her, you know, to try those places. After that, I called her a couple of times. She was upset with me, and she didn't, you know, to find out if she was able to check those other places, you know. Mm-hmm. She was very upset. So, yes, when you don't have what it takes to take care of children like that, you will be doing yourself, the child, and the child's family a whole great disservice by saying that you are accepting the child into, you have a curriculum you're following, and this curriculum will be of no use to, you know, the child. And they won't be able to look at you and tell you that we won't take your child. So they tell you that school has collapsed.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
And I remember another school that also accepted I think the first time when I went back for reporting said, do you know that in that particular class where you are, it's, you know, 8 parents, took their child away, you know.
Oh.
Yes, they took their children away from that class. Yes.
Oh.
It is that bad. And so because of some of these things, some of the schools, and for a lot of our parents, they are not able to send their children to the public schools because of the numbers.
Oh.
So most of these private schools have smaller numbers, which could help our children.
Oh.
Yes.
This one is heartbreaking.
It's the reality.
Oh.
Look, just last week, we were looking for a room for a mother who didn't have a place to stay and had gone in to pay the rent. The next morning, there was a call. It said, oh, somebody had already come to pay for it. So we are sorry. You know why? Because they were moving in the next day. Then he went to the, with a child, with a special. Look, things are happening that we hardly talk about. And these parents are going through it. We are living it each day. When you can afford therapy, I think somehow it makes it a bit easier.
Auntie Mary, it's been. So you came to terms with this at age what?
Around six.
Six, seven, thereabout.
Yeah.
So it's been like almost 13 years. And you still haven't gotten over the emotions that come with this.
I don't think
but
one can ever
get over it.
No, I don't think. Because, you know, we give birth and you want to see your child thrive, you know, be like Adam, a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer. And then they struggle with the everyday things other children.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens naturally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's getting to 20 years. I have to supervise her bathing. When she's in her menses, I have to be there to make sure that, you know, she's cleaned, you know, good grooming and all that, she's checked. Sometimes she's not even aware that she's menstruating. She'll just hold my hand and, you know, point there and say, you know, change me, like blood is coming. You know, that kind of thing. And even at the beginning when she was menstruating, and she started menstruating at 9 years.
Oh.
At a time when she was not potty trained.
Oh.
Yes. She was not potty trained. She started menstruating. That was a double blow to me. When I saw the blood at first, I thought maybe baby nature, you know, there was a cut or something. Then
only to
when
realize
I said, God, you can't do this to me.
Oh.
Yes. And then she had a lot of sensory issues, which we'll speak about. Most of our children have sensory issues. And so I brought the sanitary pad. You put it there, she takes it. She doesn't even understand what is happening to her body. And for 7 days, everything in my house was stained with blood.
Oh. Oh.
And that was a breaking point for me. We moved. I remember I went on the internet and then in parent groups and I asked, what do you do, you know, to prepare a child who is menstruating and does not even understand their own body?
Daniela, please get us tissue. Auntie Mary needs tissue.
And
get
then,
us tissue, please.
And then, you know, the parents, and I mean, oh, they will share so much with you. One of them said, get a sanitary pad, go and get a tin tomatoes, you know, spread a little bit on it, show your child so they know, you know, something, you know, like blood will have to be on the, you know, that. Yeah, looked at me and then she started laughing like.
Oh.
Then I mean, we did a whole lot and somebody said, okay, so from now onwards, anytime you are menstruating, let your child see it.
Wow.
Yes, and I think when she started seeing me, you know, when I am menstruating, you know, so I take my bath, I wear. We've gone through that.
That is a lot of work.
You've gone through that. And even what kind...
Wow.
You are in town walking with your child who is menstruating. And she stops. You know when sometimes you put this pad there and when you walk, it shifts a little bit. Oh, my God. No matter where you are, she will stop you and say, look.
The thing is shifting.
It's shifting, my friend. Better bring it back. And so you dare not go out when... I mean... And I know there are parents out there who are listening to me. These days, we are so lucky to have the pull-ups. But they are so expensive. I buy the box for 400 Ghana cedis. How many parents would be able to afford? You've been asked to go for speech therapy. The least you pay is maybe 150 to 200 per session of 1 hour. Your child needs it 5 times a week. How do you afford it?
And with this situation, you have had to stop working too.
With autism, you have to even look at your child's nutrition, making sure you cut down on, you know, carbohydrates so that, they, you know, when you eat a lot of carbohydrate, it turns into sugar. And so the child becomes extra hyper. Oh, and then, you know, somebody sits in front of you and tell them, maybe go and do greens and do this. The person is struggling. Let's say I'm a teacher. My take-home pay is 2,500. I need the speech therapy for my child. Maybe I am renting. I have other children. And most of these children, even sitting in trotro, it's also another challenge.
Hey. So it is this point I am still asking you, like I asked yesterday, what is your story? What is your challenge? What is holding you back? What excuse are you giving? And I'm asking myself, Adam, these questions as well. What excuse are you giving for not being able to move to do the things you want to do and achieve them? Here's a mother who has had to teach her child how to use sanitary pads by exposing her own self to her child before this child is able to even understand what it means to wear sanitary pads in your menses. At age 9, child doesn't even understand or is potty trained because, I mean, she wouldn't lend herself to it.
Yeah.
And still persevering. And today, we're here telling the story. Auntie Mary has still not gotten over this. Right now, she's a champion, right? She's helping other parents, renting rooms for other parents, leading a lot of work on autism and Down syndrome and children with different disabilities and impairments. Like, she's all over the place, but still dealing with her own issues. So again, I ask, if this year you have your plans, is it this bad? Why are you not achieving them? You're there and you're probably expecting the world from somebody else. Somebody has to do it for me. Somebody has to place me on that pedestal. It's somebody's fault, feeling so entitled. But here's somebody's story, and I hope that you're challenged. Good morning, Adam. I can relate to what Auntie Mary is saying. My son was diagnosed with autism when he was 3.5, and he is 4.5 years now. Glory to God, he has improved very well. Good morning, Adam. My name is Eric Hansen, a JSAPON headmaster of Ibuakwa State College. I lived with Mary and family from 2005 to 2020. I salute Mary and her husband, Ben, as well as Yaz brothers for the support. In fact, they are in the background, but we don't get to see them. But I do know that they are doing a lot of work. So this story really is not even a conversation on autism to, you know, learn about the disease and all that. It's just the challenges that someone has had to deal. Like, and it's a lifetime, you know, lifetime challenge. If you're listening to Auntie Mary's story, yes, a woman who already had 2 sons and was excited when she got pregnant again and learned that she was having a girl, the icing on the cake. And yay, she went through, had her child, and then started noticing that, I mean, things weren't going very well, but wouldn't make so much of it until somebody with a little bit of knowledge walked into her home one day after 3 or 4 years, you know, to say that your child may be having a challenge. And then you zoom into the space of denial. No, not my child. It can't be. Then you are following other directions. Go here, pass here, go and fetch this river, go and do this, walk backwards, doing all that because she's in denial. Tried several things, get helps for the child so that she can still work because she has an ambition and all. And then they come, they go. You take the child to school, they are not accepting the child and all that. And your life is hanging in the balance. She says it took her about for the child to get to age 6, and I had to get to age 6 before she finally came to terms with the fact that it looks like this is going to be my path. So I better start accepting it. look at this. She talked about the fact that she is a teacher. Her husband is a teacher. How much do you bring in? How much does he bring in? But gradually, you will still have to survive on that much. You know, speech therapy, you have to do diet, you have to do a lot of things because that's a special child. So you can't just treat the child like you treat any other child. She has had to go through all of that. And then this affects her own dreams as well. You know, you have to start living a new dream. How she came to terms with all that, we will talk about all that in a bit so that you are inspired to be able to move to achieve the things you want to achieve.
Yamvita is fortified with Nutri-V, which contains 16 essential vitamins and minerals, including zinc, calcium, and iron for your baby's healthy growth. Yamvita. A delicious way to grow. This advert is FDA approved.
Mamba cho mi pie me ba sesie.
When we say me ye dia na we say me kokuru maba. Akagal tu ni garlic na ma wo hu egu asanga no.
Chima ya na me shisha mi nsa. Mi pese be bubu.
Omia e natural.
Eno. Na me din sina abena we mu na nyimda.
Man kasa no ho. Mi so ntwi akagal na garlic nsa mam. Na we mu na nyimda mi yo.
Na twala nda nwi so. What you spice to what? I thank
me pemi be bia natural.
Anti sankofa natural spice. Anti nanka. O send the maranka sa me pemi be natural anti. Sankofa natural spice. Ana na me so. E chiri nyim. Preservative ti nyim. E ya nka sa ye kwa ha to for the what ye. Kakedu enkete enkete brakete. O ye de e be chi bia la.
Sankofa natural spice.
So a natural kata. It will be them that do this year.
This year, need me a membre.
Menya mi bibia natural.
Sankofa natural spices. Proudly Ghanaian.
Nkratui FDA Apendo.
There's going to come a time that the church will rise as the highest of all the mountains. And saviors will be raised in the church to deal with the world system. And let it be now. We need to have a national focus. We don't have to lose this ambition, or else we work against the Great Commission.
They are equipped in righteousness, the agenda to possess the nations. Welcome to an equipping center of the word and prayer on Pentecost Hour. Pentecost Hour comes to you on Joy 99.7 FM, 1:30 p.m. every Sunday.
To all mothers out there, your role can never be overemphasized. Mothers are God's most special gift to mankind. And even more special are the mothers who are raising children with special needs. This year, your superstation, Joy 99.7 FM, is celebrating mothers who are raising children with special needs in our promotion dubbed Supermom. Do you know any such mom? If you do, please share their story with us. That very daunting task of raising a child with special needs, in fact, the mothers themselves can share their stories with us as well. All entries must be sent to 055-1111997. And with the support of our sponsors, we will celebrate 10 of these supermoms this Mother's Day. Our supermom promotion is brought to you by Fortune Rice, always on point, just like mom. Frito sunflower oil, you deserve a life of goodness. Zigzag fashion accessories, Accra Mall, your best choice for elegance and style. Woodin, Lush Fortune Limited, luxuriously perfect. Somatech Ghana, your total health partner for life. And Caveman Watches, be remembered. Supermom, Aiko.
Hey,
Your beautiful mother is an epitome of grace, strength, and unconditional love. So give her the best gift ever this Mother's Day. From now till 14th May, visit Woodin Retail Shops and Partner Shops and get your mom a range of beautiful fabrics and stylish ladies' wear to complement her unique style. Celebrate your mom with Woodin and receive an amazing gift to make her day unforgettable. T's and C's apply.
Woodin, le créateur.
Auntie Mary, so I want to find out from you. So you have had to go through all of these, stop work, and then YAH became your full-time project?
Yes.
And how has that been?
Thank you. So it was very difficult at the beginning. You know, I've been a very active person, working, social butterfly, you know, all over the place, and then all of a sudden your life changes right in front of you. And then this child you dreamed of, wanting to show off.
Oh dear.
You are told.
But you're still showing her off.
Well,
in very beautiful ways.
You know, so everything changed. But then something amazing happened when I came to terms that this is my reality. I need to do something about it. I cannot sit at one place for long. So that also happened because I was able to talk to parents who had been on that road at the time. So Auntie Sewa of the Autism Awareness Camp Training Center was one of the people that I spoke to, and I was a few other people. And then being in parent groups that had children like myself was... So every day I would just go in those groups and I'll ask questions, I'll take videos. I mean, sometimes you know how, you know, they can say, okay, now you can show this. So just delete the video. But I was desperate. I needed answers. And a lot of the things we were asked to do, we didn't have the money. So I remember 2 years after staying home, I started to even do something to support, because buying diapers, taking your child for therapy, you know, taking drop scenes in and out. Now we have the luxury of buying boat and all that. It was difficult, so I started selling bed sheets. I remember, you know, I've been out from teaching because I had to stop. The first bill I bought, when we opened, everything was just junk.
Oh dear.
I said, God, what is this? The little money I've saved to start something, that went away. Then I started selling granite paste. I would go to Techiman and buy the granite in packs, bring it out. And you know, at night, between 8 to 10, you know, at night, I would sit there and, is it roasting?
You roast it?
Yes, a bag. Then the next morning, I'll get a taxi and go to Malata Market, sit there for them to just, you know, do the grand. I just want to make sure they don't add water so it doesn't go bad when you bring it. I was student. I went to Top Industries, got the bottles, and I did my own labeling with my number on it. So I started, you know, selling the granite paste. I did everything from the designing on the bottles, the plastic containers. So I have the 5 CDs, the 2 CDs, 50 pesos. So I'll take about 30. And I'll walk from Achimota Police Station. You know, the women that sell things on by the roadside. So I give you 5, maybe 5 containers. I say, okay, when you sell all the 5, you take money for one, I take the 4. So by the time I come back the following week, I did a lot just to survive.
Wow.
And support.
And to make time.
Yes. At the same time, I was also reading. So, I mean, in one of the groups I put there, I really want to get trained because I want to help body train this child. And, you know, with autism, sometimes also, no matter the level of therapy and all that, sometimes with some of the children, progress will happen when they have to happen. You just have to do what you have to, waiting for that time.
And it looks like that has been YAH's story.
Yes. So sometimes you do 50 tests and you get only one progress out of it. Mm-hmm. It is okay. Just do something. Don't sit at one place, because early intervention is key.
So the story started changing when you accepted your situation.
Yes.
And then you found support.
I found support.
Support groups.
Yes.
And, you know, you were reading around it and all that, just so you were armed with information.
Information.
Then your life had to take a different course by trying different things just to also survive.
Survive. But I worked with our, you know, you remember before. So I opted to work with a center that was supporting children like Nanaya. And I worked with them for almost 12 years.
Wow.
Yes. I worked with them for almost, 10, 11.
We will be wrapping up very soon, and I think that our point has, you know, been made. Tell me about Nanaya now, her progress, and then we'll speak to Naughty.
So we've come a long way from not having eye contact, not waving, not saying a word, very hyperactive, not sleeping at night, having constipation, to now where she has so good attention.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we're still not there, I mean, she responds to a name promptly.
She's singing the national anthem.
And she says a lot of words now.
And she likes to dress up.
Oh, so well. And she speaks these words in context. That's also one thing. So our children may be saying some words, but they may not be in context.
Mm.
So they're saying maybe sit down, bye-bye, but at different, you know, in different environment, which doesn't really bring out the meaning. She's saying a lot in context. We have a long way to go, but she's come a long way. One, because I moved from denial to acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
I did accept that something needs to be done. Now, when you're going through life challenges, your faith plays a role.
Mm.
I think we've been made to believe that as a Christian, or, you know, whichever faith you find yourself in, everything will be good because you've believed in God. What God will use to bring his glory out is not for you to decide.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
It's not for you to decide. If there's anything in my life that has brought me closer to God, it's my experience with Nanaya.
Great.
If there's anything that has strengthened my own prayer life, if there's anything that has brought the best in me, you know, it's what I've gone through with Nanaya. And you know, they say that sometimes our struggles can fuel growth.
Yes.
The things that you go through, it can fuel growth. So we've come a long way. She's doing so well.
It can actually fuel growth, or, you know, break you completely, depending on how you take it. And for you, it was from that point of acceptance.
Acceptance, yeah. And then managing your expectations. Yes, even as I work through my own faith and ask God to turn things around for my good, you know, I still have that belief that one day I wake up and everything is gone.
Oh.
But even as I wait for that miracle to happen, the little things that, you know, is happening in her life, I do celebrate that each day, because then it shifts the focus from complaints to gratitude.
And I think also that from what I see, looks like when you accepted it and decided that this is my path, let me find the best way to live it, you have had a lot of support also.
A lot, a lot. You know, sometimes when you have challenge and you share, you know, it's good. And God has brought a lot of people my way through what I've gone through with. You know, every day I wake up, I go into my inbox, and there are maybe 50 to 100 messages of people who have found inspiration. You know, it's okay to copy from what happens outside, but this is ours, you know, in our own environment.
Yes.
Sometimes even as we speak to parents, to, you know, let your children eat well. When I say eat well, you know, prepare food for them. Let's move from all these junks and the rest. We look at what is within our environment.
Use that.
One time I went to the market and I sat with the women. I said, please teach me all these greens. And you'll be amazed how much knowledge market women have when it comes to our staple food.
Do you feel fulfilled with the work you're doing now, not just for Nanaya, but realizing that you're supporting a whole lot of people?
For me, I think I found my purpose through years.
Great.
Yes. And I love what I do. It's so humbling knowing that your experience is also supporting somebody else to go through this. The people that share their stories, very intimate stories with you. I mean, I feel humbled and blessed. And every day I wake up with gratitude in my heart. And every day, you know, my faith is challenged.
Great.
I see God through the challenges. You know, sometimes we talk about miracles happening in our lives, and this one, I'm living it. There are days that we go 1 week without sleep.
And
I ask God for strength. There are days sometimes, you know, her messages, you know, they go through a lot of mood swings. We didn't have time to talk about the sensory issues and all that. But sometimes she could even go, it's like her body would just shut down. And for 3 months, there's no menstruation. But you know perfectly well, it's not pregnancy. And you need to go to hospital and all that. So every day, you get to that point in your life where you know that beyond your beliefs and all that you can do as a human being.
Great.
There is a point where you need to believe in something greater than yourself. And that is where your faith and God comes in. And I have gotten to that point where I believe that all things would work for my good. The good, the bad, the struggles we've gone through, everything is working for my good.
Great.
But I need to be very purposeful. And each moment I lived in it and asked God enough strength for a day, not even for a week. Enough
for a day.
And let us learn to enjoy in the moment with our children.
Beautiful. So, but you, I mean, what I am picking up is if you hadn't come to that point of acceptance and opened up and decided to seek the help that will make you walk this path, you won't be this fulfilled today.
Not at all.
Great. Nante, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Nante. How are you doing?
I'm good. The other chick in the studio, you are a chick already, but the other chick, Mary.
I was just telling her that, I mean, you introduced her to me like about some 9-10 years ago. And I remember, you know, that conversation after we had to look for massage vouchers and all friends and weekend stay for her because she was just too stressed. Today we are able to look back to that story in as much as she's still going through challenges. We're able to look back to that story and say that God has done a lot, and then we're using her story to inspire people on whatever journey they may be on.
Right.
Great.
Well, she's truly remarkable, truly blessed. And the wonderful thing about it is realizing your blessing, right? So, yeah, a friend of mine likes to say, bent but not broken. But not broken. So yeah, she's gone through all the stages. She's able to not only go through them, but learn from them, profit from them. She's turned, I like to say, tragedy to tribute. Right? That transition is essential. Something that hurts you so much, now you are able to celebrate it. She built the bridges for resource. And she's been able to recognize resource which is at her fingertips.
Wow.
Initially, she was blind, ignorant, scared, angry, afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she sees opportunities, you know, getting Nanaya all sorts of business contracts that
I know, right?
Was selling groundnut paste and other things, bed sheets, Broliwewu and all that. How could you have seen that before when you were blind, scared, afraid? So sitting before you, Eden, is evidence that, yeah, we need help to reframe, rethink, reconfigure our situation.
Great.
And find a way, right? Find a way. Some people say faith is believing without knowing. But you see, properly put, faith involves knowing and involves informed expectation. Right? It's not as blind as people think. So, yes, Mary in the studio there, you know, obviously, truly a priceless source of inspiration. And more importantly, not just to other people, to Nanaya herself. Her mother is a source of inspiration, because look, if I ask you, Eden, right now, why are you relying on the chair you sit on? How do you know it won't break, fall apart? Right?
Yeah.
So to be able to depend on somebody in your disadvantaged position where it's a challenge even communicating what you mean, what you need consistently, and to get to the level Nanaya has gotten to, it's truly, truly inspirational.
Beautiful. And Note, I mean, to just, you know, in about 2 minutes, using Auntie Mary's story and all that you have said, for people who are going through challenges, or even for people who have plans and ideas and want to make positive strides this year, but we do know that, look, challenges are part of, you know, sometimes very unexpected. You're on a certain path, then boom, something comes up and all. How would you, you know, encourage people who may be dealing with, you know, certain challenges, who may not be able to find their feet and all? I mean, we've told Auntie Mary's story. Just a word of encouragement to people out there as they journey along this year with their plans, their challenges, but still want to be able to make something good out of their lives.
Wow. The first thing I'll say is packaging that word of encouragement that revolves around Mary's story in 2 minutes, it's a challenge. I need inspiration to do that. But let me just say this. Most things hurt before they heal.
Mm.
I'll say that again.
Most things hurt before they heal.
And we all seek the healing. We all seek the destination, but nobody wants the journey. Mary has learned to be journey oriented. Okay, it's very easy to ask, when will we get there? I heard her say a few minutes ago, a few seconds ago, that yeah, she still holds out for that miracle, right? That she wake up one day and it's not there and things, everything is fine. It was just a bad trip, a bad dream, right? But she has gone through the motions, okay? You can dream of having a child without really conceptualizing what a pregnancy means and what it takes from you and your body and so on and so forth. So everything hurts before it heals. That journey from anger, depression, denial, disillusionment, all the way to acceptance has many, many aspects. So she got to understand that, hey, I must measure and appreciate progress, change differently. Okay, I don't want to go back into Mary's story and, you know, some of the details and the rough edges that she knows, I know, and she has shared. She set up a foundation, right? She equipped herself. She got the necessary resource and knowledge and skill. So you have to equip yourself. You have to be able to do all these things, and there's nothing wrong in needing somebody to hold your hand, guide you, support you. So we have to learn how to go through these transitions. Every difficulty has some sustainable, efficient, and effective solution. But we've got to be able to figure it out. And we can't do that when we are blind, scared, angry, and in denial. So for everybody listening to Mary's story and Nanaya's story, it's not all frills. The rose does have thorns, but we value and treasure the rose, all made by God, right? And then the key pillar in there is purpose. Adam, we are purposeful beings. We get frustrated when we don't see purpose. She created purpose, and she aligned it and allowed her lines to fall in line with God's lines, plan, and purpose. So faith also has a role in this. You can't just be there and believe in nothing. Yeah. You must believe to achieve. So key ingredients in this inspirational story, understanding purpose, plan, clearing your eyes. You know that Jimmy Cliff song, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. Yeah? Okay, yeah, so sometimes the tears are to clear your eyes, right? Her eyes are clear now, but she will still cry from time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she will tell you, but now she's not ashamed of crying. And she will find her strength and rebalance and move forward.
Great.
She's not shy to tell you that sometimes she moves sideways or even backwards, right? But she's able to reframe, use her now self-driven compass to find her bearing and to guide Nanaya. I would want to say a big thank you to Mary. She's been a light.
Oh yes,
that has shed light on many of the things. Of course, you can read, you can have different professional groups.
Indeed,
but the real experience always sheds more light.
That's for true. Us
and create the resources. So once again, these are the things that people need to look out for. Don't be scared if you're lost. Don't be an island. Build bridges, not walls. Mm. Many of us, in times of pain and suffering, we build walls around ourselves thinking that will protect us. Mary has succeeded because she built bridges and she continues to build bridges.
Thank you. Lotte, thank you so much. And need we say more? Our conversation here is done this morning. I am taken home. It hurts before it heals.
And most things hurt before they heal. Yeah.
Yes, and in that process, you will need to find understanding. You will need to find purpose. You will need to plan. And I like the part where Nauti says you will have to learn to clear your eyes as well. And, build bridges, not walls. And don't also be an island unto yourself when you are lost. It's normal to be lost at certain points in time. But that's when you seek all the help and the support. Auntie Mary, God bless you so much.
God bless you. God bless you.
And we will celebrate Nanaya's 20th.
Oh, yes.
We are waiting. Thank you all for doing the listening. Hopefully, you have been inspired to journey along and to deal with whatever challenges you may be facing. All the best. And okay, great. Auntie Mary wants to put out a contact. Okay,
yes,
great.
So
please, quickly.
If you need to, talk to me later or need support, 0244-988-977. Okay. 0244-988-977.
All right. Thank you all very much for doing the listening. My name is Adam Knight. Stay Daniela, thank you. And the Weekend City Show is up next.
Joy 99.7 FM.